Proverbs chapter 14, verses 32 through 35. The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death. Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causeth shame. Now remember, in these verses in chapter 10 through chapters 22, I think, somewhere in there, we have these comparison contrast verses. And verse 32 is an interesting verse. And remember, I've shared with you before, there's sometimes you'll come across a verse in Proverbs that you'll look at it and you'll say, I'm not sure what that's saying, especially in one part of it, the first part or last part of it. And the best way that I've found to interpret it properly, I'm convinced this is the best way to do it, is to contrast it or compare it with what's said in the rest of the verse. And this is a great example of it here in verse 32, because you look at the first part of the verse in verse 32 where it says, the wicked is driven away in his wickedness. And we can think, what does that mean? What is that talking about? Well, we do know that we all reap what we sow. If we sow good things, we're going to reap good things. If we sow wicked things, we're going to reap wicked things. And so we understand that. And that's settled. Verse 32, then we look at the last part of the verse. It says, but the righteous hath hope in his death. I can understand that clearly. That makes sense to me. The righteous, those that are trusting in the Lord, there's hope. And in the Bible, the word hope is not a hope-so kind of thing. It's a surety. It's something that will take place. It's something that we can have confidence in. That's why we call the return of Christ the blessed hope, isn't it? It's called the blessed hope. And this hope that lieth in us, and this, the word hope's used all through here, but it's used as something that is a steadfast promise, not something that, well, I hope it's going to rain today, or I hope it won't rain today. Who hopes it rains today? Who hopes it doesn't rain today? We got a split congregation here. We need rain at our house. I don't think we've gotten as much as you have up here. It's either went south of us or went north of us, you know. But we did get some last night, about a quarter of an inch. So we're doing all right. But I wouldn't mind some more. I could say, I hope it rains a little more. I hope it does. I've still got tomatoes coming on, you know. I could water them, but there's nothing like rainwater. Nothing better than that. So hope, this hope in the Lord, though, is something that's sure. He promised us eternal life, didn't he? If we trust him, he promised that. And that's a hope that goes beyond the grave. It is what the Lord says that we can place our faith and trust in it. And all through the scripture, we can see that. Now, I've got a couple of verses for you. On the first part of the verse, I believe he's saying the wicked is driven away in his wickedness. I think he's talking about the fact that he has no hope of eternal life. And the wickedness that the wicked practices or commits is going to follow him all the days of his life, because you reap what you sow. Again, we're not saved by good works, are we? But we continue, or we practice good works because we're saved. Good works are a result of salvation, not to obtain them. I have some verses here about Judas. You remember Judas Iscariot? Old Judas betrayed the Lord, didn't he? Judas was not saved. We understand that. In Matthew chapter 27 and verses 3 through 5, I want you to listen to these verses. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself. He was sorry for what he did, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Sounds like one that had no hope in the Lord. And what a sad place, what a sad condition, what a sad life his was. As the Lord Jesus said, it had been better for him never to have been born because of the decision that he made. He made the decision to betray the Lord. You see, we could talk a lot about different things as far as what the Lord allows people to do and the wickedness that they commit, but he made that decision himself. And so he paid the price. He reaped what he sowed. Now, the last part of the verse where it says, but the righteous hath hope in his death. Job said in Job 19, verses 25 through 27, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at that latter day upon the earth. And though my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. He had hope in eternal life, didn't he? He most certainly did. Where'd that come from? It came from the Lord. It came from the word of the Lord. It came from the confidence that we serve the God of the living, not of the dead. And so the Lord Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, didn't he? And then here's a verse, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18. It says, and the Lord, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, says, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me into his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Sounds like the Apostle Paul was thankful and excited about that. We've got a lot to look forward to because we have a hope that goes beyond the grave. It says the righteous hath hope in his death, and it's not our self-righteousness that obtains that. Remember, it's the imputed righteousness of the Lord because we have no true righteousness of our own. All have sinned and come short of the righteousness of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. There is the fact that the Bible says all of our righteousnesses, as self-righteousnesses, are as filthy rags in the sight of God. But there is the imputed righteousness which the Lord has given to us because we had none of our own. It all goes back to Calvary, doesn't it? In a lot of different things. We know there's a hell. One of the ways we, not only because the Lord said there was, but because of what he did to save us from it. Yeah. Why would he go through such torment and pain if there were no hell to save anybody from? We know there's a hell because of what Christ suffered to save us from it. And so we know that the Bible tells us that the wicked, those who fail to trust the Lord, those who do not trust Christ as their Savior, will spend eternity in hell in the lake of fire. But the righteous will spend eternity with the Lord in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Now verse 33, if you would. Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known. Here we have a verse where the first part of the verse says that if you find somebody that has godly understanding, then there's wisdom in their heart. We might not be able to see the wisdom that God's put there, that God's given them, but we can see the understanding that is there because it's expressed in their language and what they say and what they do. You see how they act. Yeah, the understanding is played out in our behavior. And that's why it says in verse 33, wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding. You can rest assured of that. And also you can rest assured that it says, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known as well. The Bible has a lot to say. And it always brings me back to the little saying that my mom told me. She said, keep your mouth shut and let folks think you're a fool, or open it and remove all doubt. Yeah. And the Bible tells us that, doesn't it? It tells us about the things that we say. Well, let me give you a couple of verses here. Proverbs 13 and verse 16 says, every prudent man, that's a wise man, dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. Sometimes, and again, it's going to tell us, and it's telling us in these verses that I'm going to read, but we're reminded that foolishness is much more evident, made much more manifest, where it can be seen, than wisdom is. Pride and foolishness go together, don't they? Yeah. Wisdom and humility go together. And so humility doesn't exalt itself, or exalt. A humble person does not exalt themselves. A wise, humble person is not, may not go noticed, not, might not be noticed as easily as a foolish person will because of their actions and behavior. When I was in school, whether it be, I guess all the way through, we didn't have many troublemakers in Bible college. Thankfully, that was a good thing, wasn't it? But in elementary and junior high and high school, the ones that got the most attention was the troublemakers and the clowns. The ones that's always stirring something up and causing trouble and causing a disturbance in the class somehow, some way. But the quiet student that did his homework, did his work, and behaved himself, he didn't get a lot of attention from the teacher. It was those that were, you know, starving for attention, I guess. It was made known. They revealed themselves. But the Bible tells us that those that are wise, those that are humble, is not going to be as prevalent or as easy to recognize. Proverbs chapter 12, listen to these two verses, verses 16 and 23 in Proverbs chapter 12. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. That means a prudent man doesn't exalt the faults and failures of others. He doesn't try to make a scene. Verse 23 says, a prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. And so the fact that we listen, if we're wise in a situation, we'll listen to all the facts before we state what we think. But when we speak before we hear all the facts, we're liable to show that we're not thinking, we're not letting wisdom, we're not handling the situation or trying to understand the situation properly. Well, here's the verse, Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. That says it about as clearly as it can be said, doesn't it? A fool uttereth all his mind. I've got some relatives, no doubt you probably do too, that are proud of how willing they are to say whatever pops into their head. Do you have any relatives like that? I do. I do. I mean, they just say, I say whatever's on my mind. You probably shouldn't. Please don't. We don't, if we love folks, we don't want them looking ridiculous, do we? We don't want them doing that. We don't want them to. We hate to see people pull out a gun and shoot themselves in the foot, so to speak, by the things that they say quickly before they think, and they reveal what's within their heart. You see, whatever's in the well of the heart will come up in the bucket of the mouth, won't it? But a wise man, it says, keepeth it in till afterwards. Why is that? Because the wise man will want to make sure that he has all the facts before he makes a statement on the thing. I don't know if you've ever been to church meetings. It could be business meetings. It could be private meetings here, there, and yonder. Maybe, let's say, a misunderstanding has taken place and you've gotten together with a deacon or the pastor or whatever, and you hear things that said. And the important thing is this. When we try to win an argument, we might lose a friend in the process. And we might also reveal our true heart, that we're not as wise as we should be. But if we use wisdom, as the Lord has said here, as he says in this verse, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. I remember several times as a pastor that I've had to deal with some situations that I did not want to deal with, and I prayed that God would help me and show me what to do. And I learned, I'm going to give you a little, it's not a trick, it's a plan. I had a plan that I would let whoever wanted to speak just let it out before I commented on the thing. And guess what? It worked. It worked. Because have you ever heard the statement, If you give folks enough rope, they'll hang themselves. And you don't want to see anybody hang themselves. I mean, that's not... But there's some times that it needs to be made evident that people are disgruntled, they're mean, they're hateful, they're troublemakers. And if they want to reveal that, go for it. We love people and we'd rather them be wise and we'd rather them do the right thing, but some folks want to cause trouble. And the sooner that is revealed, the better. It really is. And that way everybody understands the situation here and knows who should be followed and who shouldn't be. Who to have confidence in and who not to have confidence in. I'm not talking about anybody here. The Lord knows my heart. Nothing at all. Now, let's look it back at the verse if you would. It says in verse 33, "Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known." And there's all kinds of situations in life that this could be the case of. And so keep that in mind. Look at verse 34 if you would. "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." Wow. You immediately think of the United States of America when you read that verse. I do. But we also ought to think about Israel. I think about the history of Israel and what happened to Israel all through the Scripture and what they did as far as following the Lord as a nation. Did you know that the Lord deals with nations of the world and history has dealt with nations of the world like He's dealt in many ways with individual people? Like the direction of a nation, how they've gone, has been how God has treated them for by and large. The direction of a nation as far as them accepting or obeying or disobeying Him, it's similar to the way He treats individuals. How a nation of people live and react to the truth, and just think about the Canaanites. Remember the Canaanites? There's not a lot given in the Bible about their lifestyle, but those were very wicked people. And not only an idolatry, but I'm talking about some very wicked behavior, ungodly. I don't even want to share some of the things that they did in sacrificing their children, in the sexual things that went on in even their idol worship. History will tell you, very, very wicked people. And of course, the Lord noticed that, recognized that, and the contrast between them and the children of Israel. The children of Israel, for the most part, trusted the Lord and followed Him, but then, guess what they did? They got involved in the same idols of the Canaanites, and God had to deal with them, didn't He? And He did. He dealt with them very clearly. He dealt with them concisely, and in many ways, He dealt with them a lot sooner than they probably realized that He would. You know, and that happens in the life of people too. Yeah. You know, sometimes people cross the line with different things a lot sooner than they realize, and they bring the judgment of God upon themselves. God deals with people. And God deals with the lost in a different way than He deals with the saved. I understand that because the saved are His children, and He treats, as far as I've heard people say that God doesn't spank the devil's kids, but in one manner of speaking, He does deal with them ultimately, for sure. And they will reap what they sow. Now let's bring this back to the nation of the United States of America and of Israel right now. You see, God hasn't forgotten Israel. And there's going to be a remnant that's going to be saved, that's going to recognize Jesus as their Savior, the Lord Jesus. They're going to receive Him and recognize they're going to look upon the one whom they pierced, and they're going to trust in Him. I don't understand all of it, when it's going to be or how it's going to be, but I know that's what the Bible says is going to happen. Now, what about the United States of America? Is the United States of America in Bible history? I can't find the United States of America in Bible history. Prophecy, I should say, in prophecy. That doesn't mean that we're not around. It just means that the United States is not involved or effectual or making a difference during that time. The United States probably, if not destroyed, will be going along with the rest of the world. That's what I see and what I believe. And so the prominence of the Lord of the United States of America is in direct response of our how we treat the Lord, how we've received the Lord. We're living in a day where in the United States of America that we are being criticized and in some cases persecuted or rejected because we call upon the name of Christ. We're not allowed to pray in Jesus' name in some places because that's offensive to some folks. And so that wasn't offensive in the days of our founding, was it? And we see how God honored that and God blessed that because our nation was founded on the principles of God's word. Right and wrong. You know, the justice system. All of that. Can you imagine what this country would be? I don't even think this country would exist had there not been a Bible, had there not been the truth, had there not been the standards, the commandments of right and wrong, and what God had laid out even for Israel back in the day, how they were to judge themselves and what they were considered, how things were going to be, people were going to be punished for different crimes and such things. There probably wouldn't even be a nation. But that has held us together. It really has. And the grace of God and good, godly people that's praying for this nation. What does the verse say? Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. As I was studying this, I read several commentaries to see what others thought about the verse. And I found that many felt that it had to do particularly with the leaders of the country. The direction, the leaders. And you do see that in Israel as well, as far as the kings were concerned. How they went, whether they served God or not, whether they were evil or not, how God dealt with the entire nation. Interesting, isn't it? We do not have kings. Kings in Bible days were not elected by the people. We have presidents, we have elected officials that can only serve by election, by us, I say us, our country putting them in power. And of course there's a lot we could say about this, a lot about former presidents and presidents and what they do or what they don't do. There's one thing that is for sure. One thing that is for sure. We should be praying for our president to make the right decision, whoever they are. Because every decision they make affects us one way or another. And so we should be praying for them. And that's why the Bible says that we might live a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. We're to pray for those in authority. Now I'm going to give you another verse that is that this verse reminded me of. Psalm 33 and verse 12. It says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance." So not only does this verse 34, if it's talking about the leaders, we know Psalm 33, verse 12, it says, "Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance." You see, as I said, nations make decisions like people do. And you know, there's another correlation here. Did you know churches are like people too? Did you know churches have their own personality? And churches can either do the right thing or not do the right thing. They can make wrong decisions. They can go the wrong direction. Churches can make mistakes just like people can. And it's sad to say that some churches don't seek the will of the Lord. And so remember that nations are made up of Our nation is made up of states, which goes all the way down to the local government. But it all comes down to us, eventually, doesn't it? It's us. We're part of it. Same way with this church. It's people. This church is made up of families, and families are made up of individuals. So the important thing is what we can do personally. I can live for the Lord. I can trust the Lord. I may not be able to control whether you do or not, but I can control me as far as that's concerned. I can pray for you, but I can't get you in a headlock and say, you're going to follow the Lord. You're going to trust the Lord in this. I can't do that. But personally and individually, I can trust the Lord and I can follow the Lord. And I can pray about who I vote for. And I can pray about who I support. And I can pray about who the decisions that the elected officials, whether the ones I voted for or not, are in there. I need to pray for them that they might do the right thing, because all of that does affect me. And it affects you. And so we need to remember that. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. We live in a country where sin is laughed at, if it's even recognized whatsoever, in many cases. If you watch, I heard a preacher call it, if you watch Hollywood on television, then you understand that. If you hear the news, if you read the paper, you see what people... You see what a vast number of people, the majority in many ways, the direction they're going. Are we going that direction? There comes a time when we have to say, no, we're not going that direction. And everything that is legal is not right. There are some things that are legal that is sinful, that is wrong, it's immoral, even though it may be legal to do it. Just because it's legal does not make it right. And we have to remember that. But how do we conquer that? How do we move on? Is it just, you know, we're living in the last days. We know that. Is trying to have a better nation and a better government and all that, is that just like arranging the deck chairs on the Titanic? You know, the thing's going down, but we want to make it look better while it does? I don't know. All I know is that personally and individually, we need to keep our eyes on the Lord, no matter how dark it gets in this country. And we also need to realize that this nation is not the indicator of what's going on with the world like the nation of Israel is. How the world treats Israel is the number one indicator of the last times. And so nothing else has to be done. The return of the Lord is imminent, could happen at any moment, and nothing else has to be done. But at the same time, we realize that there is room for things to get worse. But personally and individually, we need to remember that righteousness exalteth a nation. Living right, doing the right, asking our leaders to do that which is right. Sin is a reproach to any people, it tells us. Now, if you would look at verse 35. Verse 35 says, the king's favor is toward a wise servant. Favor. This word favor is an interesting word, isn't it? It has to do with trust. Favor has to do with trust. It has to do with appreciation. It has to do with somewhat of a gladness that they have that servant, so to speak. The king's favor is toward a wise servant. Notice it says, but his wrath is against him that causeth shame. And we can see that this is pretty well said. It's pretty clear. Not a lot of things need to be shared with it. But I want to share with you another verse that'll help us with it, I think. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 2 says, a wise servant shall have rule over a son that causeth shame, and shall have part of the inheritance among the brethren. Isn't that interesting? A wise servant shall have rule over a son that causes shame, and shall have part of the inheritance among the brethren. We see trust here, don't we? We see trust. We see blessing. And as far as we're concerned, in whatever situation it may be, we could relate this to employment. We could relate this to most any situation where we understand that wisdom is something that can be blessed with favor. If we have the wisdom of God, there's going to... all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I understand that. But we have example after example in the Bible. Joseph was one of them. Moses was one of them. There are different ones in the Scripture that worldly leaders, Daniel, showed favor to because God had given that person wisdom. God blessed and there was a blessing received there. And so wisdom was the thing. Now, we might find ourselves as servants. There are places in the Bible, of course, and in the world where people are still servants today. It says, but his wrath is against him that causes shame. Do you know there's a lot of servants, there's a lot of situations in the world today where people are mistreated? Did you know there's places, and even in employment in the United States, where employees are mistreated? They're taken advantage of. They're not given the money or the raise, or for whatever reason that's the case. But if we want, the best thing for us to do is to realize that all that we do, ultimately, we're doing for the Lord. You see? And not for man. It's for the Lord. And so, whether there's a blessing in it in this life or not, in some cases there is, some cases there isn't, but the Lord is keeping accurate records, and He knows why we do what we do. So let's keep our heart right with the Lord and do serve as unto Him, and He'll honor that. He'll bless that. In some cases, even favor will be given, and He'll bless those wise decisions and desire to follow Him. Let's have a word of prayer.